talk about the human will. The human will. It has a lot to do with what we're studying in Zephaniah, the day of the Lord. And we was on the topic of the theme of bring every thought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. Well, what that does, though, it requires our thinking differently, our mind to change. We've been talking about regeneration. And we're talking about human people, human reactions, human minds. And we have a made-up mind. Our minds are made up. We were shaped and formed in this world. So what we have to do is we have to reshape our thinking, and that's not something easy to do. If you don't think it's something easy to do, ask Sister Harris. The Lord's been working with her here lately pretty strong. Last week she did something, and it was a godsend. I know it was only God that did that. It caused the church to be in right standing for a while. It really helped, and it had to be a godsend. You know, I know God sense when we see Him, or when we hear Him, or when you experience Him. And that's what the children of Israel, they experienced God, but they didn't have a spirit to do right when they seen God doing. When they seen the signs and the miracles and everything, by being shaped and formed in this world, they loved it, this world, even though they told God that they would do everything that He said that they would do, they wouldn't do, though. They assented to it. It's like people today. They know what the Bible says. They have a knowledge of it, but the actual doing of that, and it requires like opening up, like Sister Harris was saying. I don't know what the topic was when y'all were talking about, but it seems as though what she was saying, she had made up her mind to have a different attitude and not to say anything right or wrong about certain things. See, what we have to realize is that we have a will, and that will is shaped and formed by this world. And what we, in the process of doing, when God comes into our lives and plants that seed of faith in us, when He enlivens us, He gives us of His Spirit, when He quickens us, makes us alive, what He starts to do is to change the inward person. What His Spirit does is unite with our spirit. You know, there is a spirit in man, but that's a human spirit. And our spirit sometimes causes us to do things that we think are right. That's what causes blindness on our behalf. There's many a man and woman walking around in the church of God, and it says Satan has blinded their minds because they don't realize that in all things they're following their own will, they're following their own inclinations and their own way. They're not crucifying self. They're not subjecting themselves to what God says because they don't see themselves as they are. When you start seeing yourself how bad you are, then your will starts to break. That's why it says the brokenhearted and the contrite, only those, because, you know, most people run around thinking they got good sense and they don't have good sense. They don't have common sense, and people, you know, it starts not to deal with them. You know, do you have brothers and things that you don't fool with because you know they ain't got good sense and you tired of worrying with them? You got relatives, you got friends and things, because you can see the world is making a fool out of them, and they say they know God, but yet and still they're doing crazy things, and everybody can see that, and they don't know God. They're in the church, and they're struggling in the church. All kinds of calamity are coming their way, but yet and still they say, we see. And it's hard for them to serve God. Obduracy, that's a word that means hardness. It means hardness. 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles, in the 15th verse. I'll turn there if you can't get there real quick. But you see, hardness, all of the scriptures about hardness, and I didn't want to go into this one verse by verse because I have to go such a long ways. But see, it was the hardness of the children of Israel's heart, just like today. We look back at them and think we much more smarter than them, but actually we don't have as much sense as they had. It says, and the Lord God of their father sent to them by his messengers, rising up early in the morning and sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his word, and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. A lot of us were being broken by God. God is taking things out of our lives because they'll consistently be preached in the church, and they're like Ezekiel. They go to church and they hear the word preached, but they're not doing it. And everybody has control over them, and they don't have control over themselves. When it comes to the word of God, synonyms for that word of obduracy is bullheadedness. They're stubborn, doggedness, hard-headed, intransigent, obstinate. These people are self-opinionated. They got opinions about everything else. But that opinion is that they're the wisest person on earth. That spirit is prevalent in this nation, and it's our leader. That's why we have such a leader that's self-opinionated, because the nation that elected him is a self-opinionated nation. Stubborn, pig-headedness, self-will. It's all about them in pride, in not admitting, I don't know, I don't understand. You know, it doesn't hurt anything to admit you don't know something when you don't know it. And if you come to God and tell God the truth, which he already know, it's just that you have to acknowledge that God, now I see, I don't have even common sense. And then God can work with you. He give you understanding. He starts to enlighten you, and you get strong in the Lord. In the book of Romans, he said, these people suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Willingly, they willingly, in other words, they know what's the truth. They are amen and in church or whatever. But it's not like that at home. It's not like that on the job. It's not like that in the workplace. It's not like that where they shop, in their lives and everything. It's a whole different life. Satan is in charge. And yet and still, they're in the church as though they live the truth instead of always before God on their hands and knees and standing up and growing in faith to stop the world from taking advantage of them. God wants us to be overcomers. Instead of, he says, for God does not overlook sin, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness suppress or stifle the truth, because that which is known about God is evident within them, in their inner consciousness. You know that this is the truth, but you got to go to church and live a lie. Everywhere you go and you're living a lie, and it's such a big lie, God didn't turn you over to a reprobate mind, and you don't see that you're living a lie. That you're living above what he wants you to be. You're not a son of God. You're not showing the characteristics of a son of God. You're less showing the characteristics of a child. Satan's people have rule and authority over you. And God didn't make us to be subservient to Satan, because what? We yield our members to Satan, and God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. You know, if you love a woman too much or love your husband or something too much to fear divorce and everything, you have a problem. Do you know sometimes people have to go on their way if they're not going to serve God? It's better that that person, Paul said, a husband or wife is unbelievable, let them depart. It's necessary that you do what you have to do to serve God. Because other than that, that's your idol or something. You've allowed yourself to be torn. You're not a half of a person. And I tell my wife, you know, a lot of times I thank God for my wife, because she doesn't do me that. In the book of Proverbs, it says about a woman who tear down her own house with her own hands. You know, if a husband or a wife is not behind one another, God doesn't hear their prayers. Do you know if a house divided against itself? That's why Jesus comes back and telling you those in your own household are your enemies. And instead of you standing with Jesus, standing with God against those enemies, you harden your will, harden yourself against God and stand with your enemies against God. Do you know at this time of year, churches are reeling? Because during the Christmas and the holiday time, a lot of people have stood with their families instead of God, and they're obstinate in that they believe in Christmas and holidays, and they don't do anything for God. They abandon God, but yet and still they say, no height, no depth, nothing will separate us from the love of God. But yet and still, the reason they don't have anything to pull from out of the bank, the reason they don't have anything is because they hadn't laid up treasures in heaven. When you paying your tithes and offerings and working good deeds and doing good works, which God had called us to do good works, we're not laying up treasure in heaven. So when problems and things come, we don't have any money in the bank to draw from. We can't pray to God and ask God to solve our problems, because when we were doing right and when God was there for us, we wasn't following God. We were following the world. Yeah. And he turns us back over and says, you get from those people. Mm-hmm. And we're too stubborn. We're too hard-headed. We're frozen in our own will to do what we want to do, that we don't say, well, look, I got to stop this. I got to start doing what God said. No matter what my children say, no matter what my wife, my husband say, no matter what the people are, no matter what anyone says, I need to start doing what God says to do. That's when he's going to start changing your desires. Before I go any much further than that, I want to talk about the word volition. That word volition, you can use that as will. Let's just say, talking about the will, is the word volition. The power of choosing or determining. Now, we don't really have free will. If you read, I told y'all a lot of times, a good investment to read, I'll give it to you, Sister Harris, one of you. It's in small print. I don't know if you can read that smaller print. Martin Luther's Bondage of the Will. See, we're born. That's why Jesus told the people during the time he was talking with them, he said that you of your father the devil. They said that they were their father Abraham. But did you know that you are of the devil until God changes you and births you into his family to where you can pray our Father? You remember I told you anybody can't pray that our Father prayer because God is not their father? See, that's the thing about that Our Father prayer, is that he say, now you pray Our Father, but that's to the ones that are sons of God. That's God hears not the prayers of sinners. Don't confuse yourself on that. It means the power of choosing or determining. That's what the will is. That's a human a thing that we have. And we God created us, we want to say free moral agents, or whatever, but we don't have free will. Our will is in bondage to Satan because we've been shaped and formed in iniquity. A lot of people think, well, my first obligation is to my family, to my wife and my children. It's on my job. They think, no, your first obligation is to God. Whenever you put any of that stuff before God, you didn't got it all out of kilter. God said he come first. First is first, huh? Yeah. But, now, be careful amening me on that. If God's not first in your life and you acknowledge that that is right, that means in your own will, your own way, you going against God on something that you know is right. That's why they say be careful in church what you amen. Because if you acknowledge that God come before your wife or God come before your husband and your children, and think, that should be the thing. We do understand that, don't you? I was telling Sister Harris today, I called her and I said, well, look, we will cancel Bible study because Sister Jackson, her sugar is way up and I'm afraid for her to leave her here or whatever. And I went in the room, I sat down. It seemed like she was kind of disappointed. I know she said that to leave, you know, that I should stay with my wife or whatever. But see, I have an obligation also to y'all. That obligation, God says, feed my sheep. I'm not just coming out here for anything or nothing. I didn't leave my wife just for anything or nothing. I'm depending and trusting on God to watch over and keep her. But I'm also have to do what God had sent me to do if I believe God. It's an act of making a choice, a decision. That's what the volition is. He's given us that ability. And like I say, during the course of a day, we make all kinds of decisions and all types of choices, whether they be right or wrong. So God has given us each person, the saved and the unsaved person, that. But it's God that opens up our understanding and gives us the power to do his will. And that's through his spirit. You must be born again. You must be led by the spirit. But when we're talking, like I said, when you sing what you said earlier about no matter what you want to do or say, you determine to do what I'm preaching or teaching. You remember you said that? That no matter whether it's right or wrong, I've said I'm not just going to say that. I'm going to have a better attitude. I'm going to change my... See, that's what we have to see, that all along we've been wrong. And that's why we're in the fixes we're in, that we're not walking in God. And a lot of us, our world is falling further and further apart. Yeah. And it's not coming back because we're not listening. Our will is made up. It's bent toward the world. We're not crucifying self. We are yielding to the flesh. Synonyms for that word volition is autonomy, choice, self-determination, free will. The related words to it is election, preference, selection, a bent toward one way, a device, a disposition, inclination, a leaning, partiality, a penchant, predilection, predisposition, proclivity, propensity, tendency, alternative, discretion, pick, option, weight. All of those words is synonyms or related words to that word volition. We have a predisposition, a tendency sometimes to agree with those in our own household, to agree with those we're familiar with. There's a proclivity. In other words, you have to go back. That's why it says study to show yourself approved, because there's many nuances of that word will and tendency, and that's when we start examining our lives. See, that's why I say, if you're watching a whole lot of television, if you're working two or three jobs and got so much going on, you a little bit, maybe a little bit too busy to follow God. See, you need study time and you need prayer time. You need time by yourself, time away, and without somebody always talking around you and things going on. That's why you were so upset by people being in your household, even though you may not be talking to me. Well, you got the TV on, it's distracting me. You moving around and doing this, it's just bothering me. I need to concentrate on this. And a lot of us, we're so tied up in the world with our will. God's will is not being done. We opposite of what Jesus Christ said. He said in the book of Psalms that he delighted to do God's will, in which if we imitate in Christ, we should do the same. Psalms, the 40th chapter of Psalm. And we're going to start at the 6th verse. Sacrifices and offerings thou did not desire. Mine ears had opened thy open. Burnt offerings and sin offerings had thou not required. God hadn't required that. Our conscience caused us to believe and walk in that way or whatever. He says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book of
It is written of me, I delight to do thine will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. In other words, his food was to do the will of God. He just wanted to do what God's word, what God had written on his heart. God is not writing on a lot of our hearts because we're ignoring the fear and understanding of God that's there in the beginning. See, fear and understanding, that's the beginning of knowledge. But if you fear a man or fear other people or other things and more than you fear God, God not going to talk with you because mm-hmm. you've put an idol in front of it. That means your understanding won't be open and you won't even have common sense. There are a lot of people without common sense. See, the word of God, that wisdom, it gives you common sense. We don't even have common sense to keep ourselves in proper clothing. We don't have common sense to keep the money that we've made to ourselves. Why? Because we're not giving God his portion. God's tithing teaches us to budget, that everything has a place, that you learn responsibility. And after you learn the responsibility that you have made a vow, when you come into a church, most of the churches tell you what's required of you. And you make that agreement, but then you break that agreement with God. You know, one thing my wife and I, throughout the years, I'm really glad of, that she taught it to my children along with me. Have you noticed that even when she's not working, but just she's just getting a little allowance of different things, that she do pay tithes off of that? It is taught, and if your wife or your husband is not allowing the other ones to pay tithes, and I don't mean tip it, I don't mean 2 or 3% of what you're making, I mean a full tithe. If you're not paying tithes and offerings, that means your finances is not going to be right at home. So you're not going to be able to do the will of God. Because your bills will stay behind, because your light bill, other bills and things will be out of kelter because you're a God robber. That's showing lack of a will to follow God. See, because where your heart is, that where your treasure be also. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart at. Vice versa, right? So if your heart's in the house of God, if you like David, a man after God's own heart, and say, God, I've sinned against you, then God allows you to build. But see, long as you're working against God, your will is against God, he has to break that will. And that requires a whole lot. The ability to choose, think, and act voluntarily. Many philosophers believe in free will is to believe that human beings can be the authors of their own actions and reject the idea that human actions are determined by external conditions of faith. That's fate, F-A-T-E. See, if you follow philosophy and all that, and they tell you you're in charge of your destination, and man's, and some religions tell you you can make your own creation and speak, well, you have a problem then. You have a problem because the will is not free. The actions and volitions and things that God allows you to make, all that's taken in consideration the consequences of God. That's why he breaks that will. When you come unto God, you're broken, a person that's in humility. God has brought you to a place of sorrow where you fully come to be dependent upon him, of a broken and contrite heart.
Yeah.
Biblically, the heart refers primarily to the inner nature of a person, including all your will, thoughts, and emotions. That's why Jesus Christ says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate of righteousness is in righteousness in Jesus Christ. That controls your emotions. You see, the mind, the seat of your emotions. You understanding what I'm saying in your thoughts? See, because people could come to you with pity parties to make you feel sorry for them, and your heart goes out to them, and sometimes that's not the right thing to do. That's what got Samson blind and turning and grinding at the wheel, feeling sorry for his wife, loving her more than he loved God. Yeah. He violated his vows to God for his wife. That's why he ended up blind and grinding at the mill and broke, because he failed to do what God told him to do. See, we have to be able to set feelings aside. I counsel a lot of members and different people outside in the world that come to me and ask me, well, Christ said, who's my mother, father, sister, brother, but those who do the will of God? Sometimes you have to tell your immediate family, just as the scripture says, you must hate your father, mother, father, sister, or brother, even your own self. In other words, you have to tell them where to get on and off at. Right now, the condition a lot of people in is because of their spouse, because of their relatives or somebody close to them. You feeling sorry and trying to help, and you ain't got sense enough to help yourself. How you gonna help somebody else? You end up in worse shape than they are. Now you can't help them no more, and you can't help yourself. And God won't help you because you didn't turn on God. So now you don't have nowhere to go. You done run yourself crazy. The decisions we make are viewed as setting the condition of the heart. The Second Chronicles, the 11th chapter. I'm talking about our will. These first 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about the human will. We're not talking about God's will. We're talking about man's will, because that's what has to be broken, that heart and man will. A lot of people are stubborn and set in their ways. I've had members that say, well, that's just the way I am. I ain't changing. Well, you just must not come into church. You're a bad influence on the rest of the church, and it won't be long before you preached out of there. If a preacher's preaching the word of God and you set in your ways to not change, more than less likely you'll be preached out of that church. You'll always say the preacher picking on me or something, because, right, you're obstacle, as he told Peter, Satan, get behind me. Now, you got to change your mind or something, because Jesus wasn't changing his mind. God doesn't change. Second Chronicles, the 11th chapter, the 16th verse. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. They had set their hearts to follow God. They had made that decision. That's what Jesus did. He set his heart, he set his mind like flint to go to Jerusalem. No matter what problems come, what may, he had faith to go the way God said go. Now, they wasn't operating in faith in the Old Testament, but they had set their mind, but that's where it was weak through the flesh, just like with us. That's why I say, if you hadn't been born again, and see, that's the problem with a lot of us in the church. What have the preacher not said? When preaching the eulogy the other day, a lot of people enjoyed it or whatever, a different thing. But you know what a lot of them didn't nobody ask me after then. I hadn't asked me, I'll still be listening. They didn't ask me what I didn't say. They some things that they didn't hear from me, because I couldn't say them, because they wasn't true things to say. And as the sister said, some things you say you're not going to say. You have that attitude of eulogist when you speak well of a person. And some things, if it's not speaking well of the good things, you keep that to yourself at that point. Is some people in bad shape, and some people, well, the reason you like that, I've preached and taught that, but I'm not going to single out and do it to get in strife or argument with you or speak evil of you. But you have to completely follow God. You have to be fully committed to following God. And they said, the 12th chapter of Chronicles, the 11th verse, says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. See, that's what happened with us. That's why Paul was saying, when he attempted to do good, evil was right there. But see, this king, this person, he didn't prepare his heart to seek God. That was Rehoboam, who strengthened himself, and it was going to be a division in the kingdom of Israel. And he didn't prepare to seek God. See, when you get ready to seek God, you have to have God find you, but you can't have the spirit of fear. You have to be willing to give everything up. Nothing can be too dear to you. You have to be determined to find God at all cost. You have to count the cost, though, because it may cost your marriage. It may cost your livelihood with friends. It might cost your job. It could cause anything, but you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after him. You have to have that faith that it's going to be better, that it's going to get better. You read Job earlier. Job, the 34th chapter. Thank you, at the 30th chapter. But if we look at Brother Job in the 34th chapter, he was talking about here. If now thou hast understanding, hear this, hearken to the voice of my words. All flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. Shall even he that hateth right govern, and will thou condemn him that is most just? Job was telling his friends, and God was speaking, but Elihu, the younger man that came in and started to speak, we have to hear what God's words say and become doers of that word, and we'll grow in faith. We'll grow in grace and virtue God adds on to us. But if we're not doing what God had told us, if we hadn't begun to do that, we will go backwards. We will either be for God or against God. There's no certain thing as standing still. And you have to start capitalizing on that what had been taught, on the words that had been taught. That's why Paul was saying he hoped his preaching wasn't in vain, that you could make up your mind and determine to do right. Now, like I said, I'm preaching this or teaching this, but that you have to have the Spirit of God. You remember I told you that faith was that prerequisite to new generation, to being regenerated? And if you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. For without faith, but you have to, what I preached Saturday was, how could they hear without a preacher? And the only way you could have faith is through hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. So it was necessary that he be in a church where he could hear a preacher. You can't be on the outside of the church and hear the word of God, because it's not faith-driven words. It's just people speaking. And if the church is not a faith-driven church, if they're not truly speaking the word of God, it doesn't give you any life. It doesn't give you a resolve to do what is right. You know, it makes me feel good when someone says, Pastor, I'm not just after a good feeling. I'm seeing if that person's growing, because after they saying this, I'm actually seeing if they're putting it to work in their lives. And believe me, God can see, and God can give us the discernment to tell who's doing his word, who's a doer of his word. That's why Peter and Paul, all of them, they saw different people had faith to be healed. You can see faith, because faith has works. Person without faith that have a works has a dead faith. Is it getting too warm in here? Okay, it says the intentions. Intentions is clearly conjoined with a moral responsibility. Both good and evil are revealed prior to the actions at the point of one's will. Both good and evil is revealed at the point of action in one's will. Look at Genesis 6 and 5. And you remember I told you, this nation is becoming an immoral nation. Because before you vote, before you voice against a for person, you can give power to the wrong thing or the wrong person. And it says in Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So they start exercising that
wrong that they thought about you. Remember I said the thoughts in their minds, we have to determine, as you say, these situations will come up, but I've determined I'm not going to say anything, that I'm going to have a good attitude, that I'm going to do these things. You have to have faith in trust that God will empower you to do that, to be able to do that. And you determine that I'm going to do this, and some of the things, I hate to harp on one thing, a certain thing with certain people, but if there are certain things the word of faith people preach, and my daughter and them do it for her church or whatever, but you know she's determining on paying tithes or promises the thing that she do to God. Right now they gotten a new car the other day, they got a new home, but their faith is in the right thing of the promises I made to God, we're going to fulfill those. But you know they're having to sacrifice in other areas of their life to fulfill the promises of faith that they made to God. I was thinking about that the other day, Sister Harris. I seen some certain things or whatever. I say that there are people in the church that they're not doing so well at home or whatever, but they are presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, they're not living high on the hog, or they're not doing certain things because God comes first. And by that, he rewards your faith, and your faith continually to grow. Because you trust in God and not self. And see, like I say, in their will, the people's human will is but determined by flesh, by cars and trucks and television, what you have at home and all that, and they having trouble to maintain and keep and do all this. But people that have far less are fortunate, and God continue to bless them because they have found the key to success. That success is in serving God, doing the will of God. That's why it says you'll know the will of God if you begin to do the will of God. That's the growth you can feel. You can feel when people are having troubles and problems and everything. And like I said, I don't pick out particular memories of different people, but I know my members. And you feel certain things, and that's why a lot of times you ask me, why am I preaching on this or why am I saying on this? Because what we're trying to do, God's trying to get you to turn that loose. God has to speak through people. He speaks to his preacher. If he's not speaking to me, I'm not doing you any good. If I'm hurting your feelings, maybe you need to be born again. See, because a dead man don't have feelings. You remember I told you, it wasn't feelings and emotions. And sometimes that hurt, the reason that nerve is being touched, you're not completely dead. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Mortify your body. You have to die to self. So it's not how you feel about it, it's whether God's word is right or not. Are you walking in God's word? That's the thing about it. It's not about how your husband or your wife feel and that they love you or some happy experience and thing. Because all that could be, you can do, and you never ever go please your husband or wife or children or whatever. You can make them happy at times or whatever, but the minute you don't have that money or whatever they want you to do to make them happy or whatever, they will be just back on you as hard as ever. Yeah. So you fighting a losing battle there. But if you do the will of God, you please God, then God will make your enemies, he'll make those same very people be at peace with you. That you'll have joy because you're bringing about his will. So we have to start realizing it's not about the human will. We have to see that our intentions, our motivation, all those, unless they become God's intention, God's thoughts, his desires and motivation, all those are wrong. Unless they're of God, because he said his ways, his thoughts are not like ours. He says in Psalms, he says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. continually out the Bible, he's telling you your parents were wrong. The generations before you were wrong. He's looking for the manifestation of the sons of God, of people in this day and time that's going to stand up for God and do God's will, where people will start taking note that this is a son of God. Something's different about this person.
Yeah.
They're really serious about religion. But if people don't respect you nor your religion, you have the problem, not God. That means you're not living something. Rebellion and hardness of heart are the inner resistance of the will to comply with the obligations of the covenant. We're not carrying that out because maybe we hadn't been born again. You know, it's a lot of people in church. And it's a lot of people that have been going to church that hadn't been born again, born of the Spirit. See, you can't obey God if you're not a son of God. Because what God does is he breaks your will and makes you one of his, and then you're going to want to obey God. Now the struggle is with self. You're fighting with self. Because that you're doing, you don't want to do that no more. I don't want to live that way no more. I want to live this way that's in the Bible. That's where the struggle comes. You start seeing that that thing is within your flesh, within your members. What I've learned in the way I walk, all that's been wrong. All through my life, I've been wrong. Now I need to get on the right road, the road to God. And it's not predicated by feelings. And do you know, that's when you really feel good. That's when you know you got eternal life. That's when things start not to matter. It doesn't bother you what people say about you, how people feel about you.
Right.
The only thing that matters is what God thinks about you. Yeah. And God's going to keep showing you when you show it at, and each week, each time. That's why I said, well, hold on now. Honey, can you make it for another hour or so? Because I'm just going to be here with you or whatever. And I put the phone right there or whatever and call somebody and just do something. I ask them to check in on them. But see, if I have hungry sheep, I got somebody to need feeding. God help me here. I need God to help me. Because I wouldn't feel right come 8 or 9 o'clock and she made it through that hour or two, but I didn't go feed the sheep. That means I'm not trusting God. Because if he gave me a job to do, God looks after you when you do what he tells you to do. Whether we understand it or not, whatever God tells you to do, you do that.
Do.
Make sure it's not your will. Make sure it's God's will. Make sure she's not crying and you don't love me because you're not doing this. You don't love me. That fool did everything that to prove to her he loved her. He ended up blind and killed himself. That's what happened to Samson, proving to his wife that he loved her. God had to help him to kill his enemies because Samson couldn't do the job. As strong as he was, he didn't know God had left him. So that's our will. There's a way that seems right to a man in the end. It's death and destruction. It's the ways of death. David prayed for an undivided heart for both fear and praise of God. He prayed in Psalms 86. I'm giving y'all these in y'all have the notes on them, but I'm saying it verbally for those in the audience that so they can go home and read that or whatever. But in Psalms 86, we just can read verse 11 and 12 where it says, teach me thine way, O Lord. I will walk in thine truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God. With all my heart, I will glorify thy name forevermore. I want to be fully committed to you. Everything else takes a back seat. I want to be completely committed to God. The reality continued, uncompelled service and sacrifice depends on the gracious actions of God. God opens up our life and causes us, gives us the ability to serve him as he sees, as we're walking in his way, as we're doing that which pleases him. Like I said, I have a lot of things to go into about intentional sin and unintentional sin.
and presumptuous sin. You see, there are those, he says, those that know the will of God and don't do it will be beaten with many more stripes than those that didn't know at all. So I try to preach the whole word of God to you. So that I know I have told you. So if you're not doing that or trying to do that or praying to God for it or asking God for understanding to understand that, that means that y'all are in presumptuous sin, intentional sin. In other words, you know what God's will say, but you're not doing it. Now, let me tell you the difference between that. In Leviticus 42nd chapter of Leviticus, and the 4th chapter of Leviticus, in the 2nd verse, this is about unintentional, intentional sin, because like I say, most of the people in church commit presumptuous sin. In other words, they feel that they can sin and do what God says not to do, and God still not could do anything about it. That's when God really punishes them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin offering which he had sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. But he asked us that we be not ignorant. That's why I say I have to continue to feed the sheep. I have to make you aware of sin. I have to make you aware of the things that's against God so you don't do those things. I told him Saturday, I said, well, one of the things I told Mr. Luther I'd been preaching about was God says not to forsake the assembling together of yourselves. So if you don't get with the church and you're not going to church, you abandoning going to church at different times, you're saying you can do contrary to God's word and still that you obey in God. That's a contradiction on his face. That you must eat of his flesh and drink of his shed blood. That means having communion with God's people and continuing in his word. All these things you must do. It. In other words, not just know them, but you must be doing these things. That's the only way you can be his disciple. See, but we are hard-headed and we do these things. Now, I'm not saying that you won't sin, because there's no man that's sinning not. But sometimes you can make a mistake and you repent from that mistake. It's like God said don't murder. But then somebody come in to rape your family or kill somebody or doing something. God put that provision in there that I kill somebody, but it was in self-defense. It was manslaughter. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't something that I presumed to do. So God does have mercy and there is forgiveness there, but if I plan to go out and kill you over a particular offense, if I plan that I'm going to do this, and like I say, there are things come up that we're not able to do all that we do or say we're going to do, so that's why it says don't make a vow and you're not able to do it. But say, if the Lord's willing, I'll do such and such. But you have to try with all your might to do that which you had promised the Lord, and doing another of making promises and then saying, okay, well, the Lord will understand. Let me short the Lord. Let me not do what God say do, and let me do this. Things are not going to end up right for you. It's not going to end up right. That's the human will, our human thoughts and everything. So God gives us the power to do his will. John 15:5. I don't know if I did a good job on introducing this topic, that what I want to talk about the next week or two is our will, what we want to do. We want to keep home happy. We want to keep everybody happy. We want to keep the people on the job. Well, we're not able to do that. God sometimes
puts us in that situation where we have to make a choice. As Joshua said, choose this day the gods that you will serve. So a lot of choices and decisions you make in during the day, that's why with prayer and supplication, with everything you do, have to be of faith. It has to be brought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. So if you know your Bible, you know the word of God, you know what God requires of you to do in that instance of that time. Now, there are a lot of things that's specific that's not specified in the Bible, a specific thing. But if your intentions and motivations is to do the right thing, God normally leads you to do that which is right. But there is, if there is a mistake, if you do the wrong thing, that's why you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who pleads on your behalf. And you can go to him and plead to the Father. You can go through the throne of grace and petition God. He says, if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father. But you have to be in close fellowship and proximity to Jesus Christ, praying to him day in and day out that he's communicating with you. All right, if everybody in here now aware that God is talking to you, do God talk to you?
Amen.
You can feel God's talking to you. That if you are son of God, you're being led by the Spirit of God. Now, like I said, be very careful. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God, if you're a strong-willed person, a lot of the things you're doing is not God. Because you can't distinguish between God and Satan. Even though you say it's God and your mind thinks it's God, it is not God. There's a lot of people doing a lot of good things, and Jesus didn't deny that there's a lot of people doing things in his name, but he's going to tell them, depart, because he never knew them. They didn't have a proper fellowship with God. They were strong-willed. In other words, it was their nature. It was their thoughts about themselves. They were high-minded. They were hardy. They didn't realize that they didn't even have common sense. God had turned it to where they didn't even see their wrong. You know, you could be walking in ignorance and not know it. Accomplishing what you want to accomplish. That's what happened with the king of Assyria. He was just a tool or a rod in God's hand to punish God's people. He was punishing them because he was an evil and wicked person and wanted prosperity and wanted dominance and power. But God was using him to accomplish his purpose, and he was going to turn around and destroy him because he wasn't doing it because God was telling him to do it. He was doing it because he wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why I say you better beware what you're doing in your life, what you're doing at home, on your job, in life, that is God telling you that, because it might not be God. It might be self, and you can't tell self from the God. You can't tell self from God, and you don't know that the Lord is not with you. He departed away from Saul, and Saul didn't know that. It was an evil spirit driving him. That's why David said, Lord, please don't take your spirit away from me. The time it was gone, my bones dried up. You can tell when the spirit's not driving you, if you're a child of God, if you've ever been tasted of the spirit. But if you hadn't been tasting of the spirit, you had just been a professor, you don't have the sense to know that you don't even know God.
Hmm.
You couldn't be busy building bigger bonds and building bigger bonds, but hadn't prepared your soul to follow God. John 15 and 5. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So here's the thing here. If you think you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, but things in your life is going off the tracks, things not going right, search and see, had you done something against God and you done the wrong thing, you hadn't committed to God, you were out of God's will, that's when you pray to God and ask God and pray that he restore you back to fellowship, that he restore you back to right standing.
And he know how to mend the fences. He know how to restore you. He know how to bring you back in right. But it's got consequences now for not being in him. Because if you were in God, you would be bringing forth the fruits. There's a reason for punishments. There's a reason for afflictions and things to come in your life. And it's not God, because if it was God, there's an end purpose that this is all a trial, and he'll give you the strength to bear it, and you wouldn't be bitter going through it. See, Naomi was going through what she was going through because she was actually bitter and she had did something wrong. But Ruth was going through what she was going through because God had a better end purpose in sight for her. So her husband had died. She had left her people, but God had Boaz waiting on her. God had a better something for her if she kept the right attitude and trusted and said, your people be my people, your God will be my God. And she never gave up hope. See, but it's a lot of us in hopeless situations and don't know the situation is hopeless because we're, what I told you earlier, we're pig-headed. In other words, we're stubborn. We can't see. We set in our ways, and so that type person will never see God. Until you see the condition you're in, until you see you broken, until you tell God and go there and confess that you've been wrong, you can't pick up the pieces. God can't put the pieces where they belong because you're not doing the good works he had created for you to do. You're working for Satan. You're doing the things that help Satan prosper. So, like I said, it is your will and it's your way. Even though you profess Christ, even though you're in the church, you still, your will hadn't been broken. We have to be able to identify the human will. We have to start seeing that self doesn't see self. When you start seeing self as the enemy that has to die, then you may know God is working with you. God may have showing himself when you see that you were wrong all along. Saul of Tarsus, all his life, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, but now he starts seeing that he was the chiefest of sinners and that he didn't know God. That's when he became the most famous apostle of them all. When you started to see your wretched self, as Jacob saw that he was just a worm and not a man.
As we come before you this day, Lord God, we're asking you to strengthen us